Amen. So we're there in Acts chapter number 2. And in Acts 2, of course, we read about the day of Pentecost. And of course, a great work was being done. We see people getting saved. And really what we see is the start of the local New Testament church in Acts chapter number 2. And we see that 3,000 people got saved. And they didn't just get saved, but they got baptized and they were added to the local church there in Jerusalem. Look at verse number 41 in Acts 2, 41. It says, "And they that notice gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So we see that the Lord there is blessing the early Christians there. He's blessing the church. People are getting added to the church. And in this story, I want you to notice the atmosphere that we see in the early church here in Acts 2. Look at verse number 44. Notice the atmosphere that we see that these early Christians has. It says in verse 44, it says, "And all that believe," notice, "were together." You see, we see an atmosphere of unity, an atmosphere of being united. It says, "All that believe were together," notice, "and had all things common." Notice we see a spirit, a heart of charity amongst the brethren, a heart of caring for other people. It says they had all things common. Verse 45, notice, "and sold their possessions and goods and parted to them all, to all men as every man had need." Notice, what do we see here? We see people having the right priorities, people willing to sell their possessions, to sell their materials, to part to other people who have need. What do we see? We see people having the right attitude. And so what do we see so far? We see the atmosphere of people being united, people having charity, people having the right priorities. Look at verse 46. It says, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Not only do we see an atmosphere of unity, not only do we see an atmosphere of charity, of having the right priorities, but here we see an atmosphere of joy. People who have heart of gladness, people who are joyful. And notice it says with singleness of heart, meaning their hearts were knit together. They were united. And what we see, the atmosphere, this is a good atmosphere. And this is the type of life that you and I as Christians ought to strive for. Not just in our church, but in our homes. We should strive to have an atmosphere, a spirit of being united, of having our hearts knit together. We should strive to have a spirit of charity, not just in our church, but in our home. A spirit of having the right attitude towards the things of God, not just in our church, but also in our home. And of course, we should live a life of joyfulness. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We should strive to have the joy in our hearts when it comes to things of God. And this is the attitude that we see in the early New Testament church. But notice what the Bible highlights for us about these people. You know, what were these people doing that we should be applying in our hearts today, in our lives today? I mean, look at verse number 42. It says, notice, "and they," notice, "continued steadfastly." Notice the Bible highlights that they were continuing in some things, notice, steadfastly. It says in what? In the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. See, the Bible tells us these people who had the right heart, they had the right atmosphere, the right attitude, it says they continued steadfastly. Now, what does it mean to be steadfast? It means that you're unmovable. It means that you're not wavering, that you're not moving around, that you're going to continue, you're going to be solid on some things. And you and I, we ought to strive to be a people who are steadfast. Here, place her in Acts 2, we go to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And what do we see these people? They were steadfast in what? They were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. They were steadfast in the fellowship and in breaking in bread. They were steadfast in their prayers. And you and I, we ought to strive to be people who are steadfast, who are unmovable in some things in our lives. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse number 58. The Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," verse 58, it says, notice, "be ye steadfast." See, God wants you to be steadfast in some things in your life. And there's some things in your life, you should just choose, you know what, I'm not going to move in this area. I'm going to be unmovable, unwavering in these things. It says, "be ye steadfast," notice, "unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." See, God wants us to be steadfast in some things. And you and I should be steadfast, like in the book of Acts, in these things that are basic. And what am I preaching on tonight? Today I'm preaching on being steadfast in the basics. You and I should be steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. You and I should be steadfast in the fellowship. You and I should be steadfast in the prayer. You see, what we need is we need to get back to the basics of Christianity. You know, oftentimes we read the Bible, we look at stories like in Acts 2, and we think of it as it's somehow of a fairy tale. We think, well, that doesn't apply to us because don't you know, Brother Oliver, the world has changed today. You know, today we're so advanced. Today we have technology. Today we have television. Today we have planes. We have cars. We have money, we have clothes, we have social media, we have the internet, we have all these things, and we somehow think that these things don't apply to us in our lives. But let me ask you this, do you see in Christianity today, in churches today, or in the homes today of Christians, do you see a heart of unity? Do you see a heart of joy in serving the Lord? Do you see a spirit of charity? Do you see Christians having the right priorities? Do you see the joy of the Lord in Christianity today? No. See, the truth is, the same Holy Spirit of God that worked in Acts 2 will work today. The same Holy Spirit of God that worked back then is the one that's flowing through us today. And you and I, what we need to do is get back to those things that are basic. Be steadfast in the basics, in the fundamentals of the Christian life. Because the truth is, sometimes in life we can get sidetracked. And oftentimes, especially like tonight, being New Year's Eve, looking forward to this next year, we should focus on our Christian lives into getting back to those things which are fundamental of the faith. Amen. Go, if you would, to Revelation 2, if you would, Revelation chapter 2. So I'm preaching about going back to the basics and being steadfast in the things of the basics. Steadfast, unmovable in those things which are fundamental as a Christian. And the same things that worked for the people here in Acts 2 will work for us in our lives today. Revelation 2. In Revelation 2, we see God talking to the church at Ephesus. And of course, we saw this chapter here on Sunday morning. Pastor went to it. But in Revelation 2, look at verse number 2. Here he's talking to the church at Ephesus in verse 2 of Revelation 2. It says, notice, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and has found them liars. Notice, this church is doing some right things. And you're in your life, you may be doing some right things, but it goes on. It says, notice in verse 3, and has borne and has patience for my name's sake, and has labored and has not fainted. Notice verse 4, it says, notice, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. See, these Christians here at Ephesus, they were busy. They were working, but they got to the place where they got so busy and so overworked that they forgot some things. It says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, notice, because thou hast left, notice, thy first love. What is the first love? Those are the basics. Those are the fundamentals. This church, they got so busy working, so busy doing things that they forgot those things which are basic in their Christian life. And you in your life, don't get so busy to the place that you forget those things which are basic. Those things which ought to be fundamental as a Christian. We should be unmovable in the Christian life. Notice verse 5, it says, notice, remember wherefore, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, notice, and repent and do what? And do the first work. See, in life, we should assess our lives. And we should come to the place where we should think about the fact, have we gone away from those basics, from those first works, the things that we should be doing as Christians in our lives that are fundamental, that should never move for any Christian. So we ought not to get to the place where we get sidetracked as Christians. And don't get so busy in your life that, you know what, Bible reading goes out the way, or church attendance goes out the way, or the prayer goes out the way. At that point, you've fallen. At that point, you need to remember from whence thou art fallen and go back to those things which are fundamental to the faith, those things which are basic. Go back to, if you would, to Acts 2, Acts chapter 2. And oftentimes as Christians, you know, when we get sidetracked, when we stop doing those things which are basic and fundamental, you'll find that when there once was that spirit of unity, you'll find is a heart of disunity. When there once was a Christian who had a heart of charity, you'll find a heart of pride. When there was a Christian who once had the joy of the Lord in their life, and then it's a drudge for them to serve the Lord. You say, what happened? Those people, they forgot the fundamentals. Those people, they forgot the basics. And sometimes we just got to go back to the beginning. Go back to those things which are basic. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 11:3, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And in our lives, there should be some things that are unmovable, foundational in our lives. And those things should be the basics. You know, and here's the thing. The key to the Christian life are the fundamentals, they're the basics. You know, I found this quote online. It's a quote from a famous businessman. I want to read it to you. I thought it was a good quote. It says, success is neither magical nor mysterious. Success is the natural consequence of consistently applying the basic fundamentals. It says that success is the consequence of consistently, over and over, doing what? Applying those things which are basic. Applying the basic fundamentals. You say, what's the big secret to the Christian life? It's applying the fundamentals again and again and again. It's doing the basic things again and again and again. And see, what do we need in 2020? We need to get back to the basics. Back to the basics of the book of Acts. Back to the basics of Christianity. Back to the basics of what we ought to be doing as Christians. So I have 3 points tonight. Number one, we should get back to the basics of Bible reading. Look at verse number 42, Acts 2, 42. It says, notice, and they continued steadfastly in what? In the apostles' doctrine. You know, what was one thing that these people were steadfast and unmovable? It was in their Bible reading. It was in the apostles' doctrine. You say, well, we just heard a Bible reading sermon on Sunday. Well, you know what? This is what you need today. Because you know what? Tomorrow, 9 chapters a day starts. What you need to do is get on the chart and start reading it every day. And make it a goal in your life this year to be unmovable in your Bible reading. See, what we need today, we don't need more internet. We don't need more TV. We don't need more technology. What we need is more Christians who actually just get back to the basics of reading their Bible, of choosing. And I'm just going to be basic. I'm just going to read the Bible because that's what God wants for your life. And what do we see in the book of Acts? We see a heart of unity, a heart of charity. Why? Because they were unmovable in the fact that they were reading their Bible. And Bible reading will do many things for you. Bible reading will keep your priorities right as a Christian. Go, if you would, to Hebrews 12. Keep your place here in Acts 2, if you would, but go to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews 12. And in Acts 2, what do we see? We see people who have the right priorities, people who are willing to sell their possessions and give it to those who have a need. People who are willing to put the love of the Lord above the love of their material things. You know, how do you find a Christian who loves God more than possessions? Well, you find it from people who actually read the Bible. And the basic of Bible reading will help you keep your priorities right in your life. Hebrews 12, look at verse number 1. Hebrews 12, 1. Notice what it says in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, notice, let us lay aside every weight. You know, what are the weights? Those are things that are holding you down. Those are the things that are sidetracking you. Those are things that you should not put in your life if they're holding you back from God. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Notice, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see, how is it done? Well, look at verse number 2. It says, notice, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How do you find a Christian who has the right priorities? You know what they do? They spend their time looking unto Jesus, looking unto the Word of God, reading the Bible every day. And when you read the Bible every day, it's going to make you lay those weights aside. It's going to help give you the right priorities in your life. Because as you read the Bible, you know what you're going to read? You're going to read things like, in all things that he might have the preeminence. Amen. You're going to read, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You're going to find a Christian who goes to church. You're going to find a Christian where it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. You're going to find children where it says, children, obey your parents in all things. You're going to find a wife who reads, you know, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. You're going to find a Christian who has the right priorities, and that's going to cause you to lay aside some weights in your life. It's going to cause you to have the right priorities. You know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you read the Bible, it'll put things into perspective. It'll help you have the right priorities, and you ought to assess your life. You know, are there things that are taking you away from God, from the things of God? And the truth is, the basic habit of Bible reading, being consistent day in and day out, it will help you purge those weights. It'll give you the right priorities in your life. You say, what's it going to do? It'll give you the right priorities. But not only that, go if you would to Philippians 3, Philippians chapter number 3. Not only does basic Bible reading keep your priorities right, but basic Bible reading keeps you safe. Reading the Bible, the fundamentals, hearing the preaching about the fundamentals keep you safe. Hearing the preaching about soul winning, about church attendance, about Bible reading, those are safe things for you. You're going to Philippians 3. So don't get tired about hearing preaching on the basics. No, the basics are what you need. The basics are the key to the Christian life. Philippians 3, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, notice, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Notice, to write the same things to you, notice, to me indeed is not grievous. See, Paul is saying that for me to write the same things to you, to write to you about soul winning, write to you about church attendance, write to you about standards, about living for God, about reading your Bible, those things aren't grievous. They aren't a grief to him. Why? It says, notice, for you, it is safe. Amen. See, there is safety in a Christian who reads their Bible every day. You say, who's in danger of quitting on God? Those who don't read the Bible. Who's in danger of being carried about with every wind of doctrine? Those who don't read the Bible. And you know a Christian who doesn't read the Bible because some wind of doctrine comes and it's a little breeze and they get blown away. And you don't see them anymore. You see what happened? They were in danger the whole time because they weren't applying the basic fundamentals of just reading the Bible again and again and again. Look, there's safety in hearing the fundamental truths again and again. That's what you need. And what we need today as Christians is we don't need more of the YouTube or the Facebook or more of the world's philosophy. What we need is more Christians who actually just get back to the Bible. There is safety in you, and you will finish your race with joy as the Apostle Paul when you just get back to just establishing, moving. I'm not going to move. I'm going to be steadfast in just basic Bible reading. That's the best thing you can do for yourself as a Christian. But not only that, but Bible reading keeps your joy. Go to Jeremiah 15, if you would. Jeremiah chapter number 15. And in Acts 2, we see the people having unity. We see them having charity. Not only that, we see them having joy. You're going to Jeremiah 15. And look, it is a joy to serve the Lord. It is a joy to be in church. It is a joy to live the right kind of life. It is a joy to do what God wants you to do, to obey his commandments. And when you find a Christian who doesn't enjoy those things, you'll find a Christian who doesn't read their Bible. Because why? Because the new man, the spiritual man, he joys in these things. Jeremiah 15, look at verse number 16. The Bible says, notice, and we saw this verse on Sunday, but we're going to see it again. It says, thy words were found in verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And notice what this man, Jeremiah, says. You know, this man, Jeremiah, lived a hard life. This man was imprisoned. This man was forsaken. This man was left almost to die. It says, notice, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Notice, and thy word was unto me. Notice, the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Jeremiah said, you know, even though people are forsaking me, even though he's in prison, he said, the word of God is the joy and rejoicing of his heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. You see, what can I do in 2020 to make sure my heart is right, to make sure that I have the joy of the Lord? You need to get back to the basic fundamental of just reading your Bible. You say, who are the best Christians out there? People who read their Bible. People just steadfast, unmovable, over and over. I'm just going to read it again and again and again. Why? Because it is safe. And it'll keep your heart right and it'll keep you happy. And so if you find yourself dreading the things of God, if you find yourself getting upset, getting grieved over going soul winning, over serving God, ask yourself, you know, how is your Bible reading? Are you even doing the basic fundamental? And our lives should be planted upon the rock, meaning it's unmovable. It is steadfast upon the Word of God. You see, what will Bible reading do? The basic of Bible reading, it'll keep your priorities right. It'll keep you safe as a Christian, and it'll keep your joy. Not only that, go to 1 Peter 2, if you would. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter 2. But Bible reading keeps you growing. 1 Peter 2. Bible reading will keep you going as a Christian. And if you get to the place where you think, man, I know it all, or I'm not learning anything in church, it's probably because you're just not reading the Bible. And you know what? Preaching is great. But, you know, preaching is not enough to help you grow. And, you know, we learn a lot in this church. And we can learn a lot from listening to preaching online. But you know what? That is not going to be enough to help you grow as a Christian. What you need to do is develop a daily discipline of reading the Bible. 1 Peter 2, look verse number 1. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Notice, as newborn babes, verse 2, it says, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. It says that we should be like a newborn baby. And if you have a newborn baby, hey, you know that baby screams for that milk. That baby's fighting and screaming, and nothing will stop them except for the milk, right? But God wants us to be the same way. It says, as newborn babes, you ought to be the one who screams to God for his word. It says, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Because truth is, you will stop growing as a Christian if you don't read your Bible every day. And so what do we see in the book of Acts? We see a spirit of unity, people who are united in their hearts, singleness of heart. We see people who are happy, who are joyful. We see people who have the right priorities, people who have the right attitude, the right spirit. What were these people doing? They were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. You see, why? Because the Christian life, there's no magic formula. The Christian life, the way you succeed is through applying the basic fundamentals of the faith. I'll read it for you again. It says, success is neither magical nor mysterious. Success is the natural consequence of consistently applying the basic fundamentals. Look, you need preaching on Bible reading. You need to be reminded that every day you need to read the Word of God. That will keep you in this race. You say, how am I going to keep from falling away from God? You got to stay in the Word of God. Apply the basic fundamental of reading the Bible. Go back, if you would, to Acts 2, Acts chapter number 2. So number one, steadfast in the basics. What should we get back to? We should get back to the basics of Bible reading. Get back to the basics of the Word of God. We should strive, you know, every year we should strive to get more and more fixated, unmovable on the Word of God. More and more fixated on those things which are fundamental. But, you know, what else were these people steadfast in? Acts 2:42, notice what the Bible says. It says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Notice it says, and fellowship and in breaking of bread. Not only should we get back to the basics of Bible reading, we should get back to the basics of fellowship. Get back to the steadfastness of being in the fellowship. It goes on in verse 43. It says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common. Notice, it says all that believed were together. Notice we see the fellowship. It says, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Notice verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking in bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness, notice, and singleness of heart. You see, how will you have joy? How will you have gladness in the Christian life? Not only is it the Bible reading. Look, that is basic. You need that. But it's also the basics of fellowship. And what I mean by the basics of fellowship is what I mean is having real human interaction. You know, we live in a day where people want to lock themselves in a room and just play video games all day. God didn't make us for that. God made us to have human interaction with people. And look, fellowship is just as important as the Bible reading. These people weren't just joyful. They didn't have the right heart. They didn't have the right charity, the right perspective of life just because of the doctrine. No, it was because also of the fellowship. And the truth is, you need friends. And you know, people need you. And the truth is, there's many great benefits to having friends. And God ordained it for us to have friendships and for us to grow through fellowship. I found this article online from mayoclinic.com. And the article is called, What Are the Benefits of Friendships? I'll read it for you. It says, good friends, notice, are good for your health. Friends prevent loneliness and give you a chance to offer needed companionship. Friends can also increase your sense of belonging and purpose. Isn't that what the church is here for? To increase your sense of belonging and purpose? See, we should get back to the basic fundamental of fellowshipping in the church. Notice, these people had the right heart because they were in the church. And you, as a Christian, you must be in the church. You must be steadfast in the fellowship of the church. It goes on in this article, it says that friends can also boost your happiness and reduce your stress. It goes on, it says they can improve your self-confidence and self-worth. They can help you cope with traumas such as serious illness, job loss, or the death of a loved one. Encourage you to change or avoid unhealthy lifestyle habits such as excessive drinking or lack of exercise. You see, what can friends do for your life? Friends can make you a better person. You know, iron can sharpen iron. And what you need as a Christian, you should choose this year to be steadfast, not just in the doctrine, but be steadfast also in the fellowship. Meaning, when the doors of the church are open, you're going to choose to be there. And look, you're not going to grow as a Christian by just showing up to church once every other month or by just being a Sunday morning only. You know, you need to be steadfast every day, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. The fellowship time, those activities that are not just for church service, but they're just times to fellowship. You know, you need that as a Christian to help you grow. Why? Because we influence each other. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works. See, what you need to do as a Christian is you need to allow yourself to get involved in the life of someone else. You need to allow people to get involved in your life. You should be there to help someone. They should be there to help you. And that's what a church is for. To help you grow. And you'll never be the Christian that God wants you to be by just reading your Bible. It's not good enough to say, well, I'm just going to read the Bible and I'm never going to fellowship. It's not going to happen. These people that are steadfast, not just in the doctrine, but also in the fellowship. Go to 2 Peter 1, if you would. 2 Peter chapter 1. So what do I mean by getting back to the basics of fellowship? What I mean is real human interaction. Don't just be the person who all your friends are just on Facebook. All your friends are just social media. All your friends are just your Instagram or your Twitter friends. That's not human fellowship. That's not interaction. God ordained a local church for you to be in a local church to fellowship with other believers to help you become a better person. And it's not going to be done by you being a solo warrior by yourself just reading the Bible. It's not going to happen. You need to have the fellowship. 2 Peter 1, look at verse number 5. The Bible says in verse 5, 2 Peter 1, it says, and beside all this, notice, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. See, there's some things that God wants you to add. He said, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. But notice it says, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. I find it interesting that the last thing that he mentions of this list is brotherly kindness, and then and to brotherly kindness charity. You see, does God want the virtue? He wants the virtue. Does God want the knowledge? He wants you to have knowledge. Does God want the temperance? He wants the temperance, the patience, the godliness. But on top of all that, you say, you know what? Add brotherly kindness. How's that done? It's done through fellowshipping in the church. It says, and through brotherly kindness, charity. Look at verse 8. Notice what it says. It says, for if these things be in you. Because the truth is, it's not in most people. Not everyone has that brotherly kindness. Because not everyone really fellowships in a church. It says, if these things be in you. Notice, and abound. Notice, they make you. They shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When it says, if these things be in you, he's referring to not just the knowledge, not just the temperance of the patience. He's referring to the brotherly kindness. He's referring to the charity. And how is that accomplished? It's accomplished through fellowship, through interacting with people, being in the church, and not just coming in and out, but actually talking to people. and investing your lives in them, helping people, allowing people to help you. It says, if these things be in you and abound, notice, they will make you. They shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 9. It says in verse 9, notice, but he that lacketh these things, notice, is blind. See, there are some people who have the attitude that say, well, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to have that fellowship. Well, the Bible says that you're blind. It says, he that lacketh these things. What are those things? It says the brotherly kindness. It says the charity. If you're lacking those things and you think you don't need it, it's because you're blind, the Bible says. It says, he that lacketh these things is blind, notice, and cannot see afar off. They're short-sighted, notice, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You see, why is it that Pastor Jimenez gets up here and preaches on fellowship again and again? It's because he knows it's good for you. It's because he's been in this thing long enough to know that that is what you need in the Christian life. That it's not just internet preaching, that it's not just reading the Bible, but it's also being steadfast in the fellowship of the church. Amen. So what you should choose this year in 2020 is to be steadfast in the fellowship and say, you know what, when the church doors are open, I'm going to be there, because that will make you become what God wants you to be. Go to Philippians 1, if you would, Philippians 1. Not only is it fellowship in the church, because that's the right fellowship, but you know, it's also fellowship in the work. You should be steadfast in the fellowship in the work. Philippians 1, look at verse number 3, Philippians 1, 3. In Philippians 1, 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Notice verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy, notice, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You should also choose to be steadfast in the fellowship of the gospel, meaning you should choose to be a soul winner. That when you come to a church who sends you out, that you're going to be steadfast in the fellowship of the gospel. Why? Because when people work together, they grow a bond. There's a knit. Working together, side by side, going out there and preaching the word of God, that builds relationships. And that builds you as a Christian. So when it comes to being steadfast in the fellowship, be steadfast in the work. And the truth is, you know, in this church, we have a great people who volunteer. A lot of people work in this church. But, you know, the truth is, the sad truth is, most churches, it's 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. And that's a sad thing, because, you know, God gave us the work of the ministry to build you up. So if you think, well, I don't need the fellowship of the gospel, I don't need the fellowship of the church, then you're blind and you cannot see or far off. Why? Because if these things be in you, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This year, you should choose to be steadfast in the fellowship of the gospel. Choose to be a worker with us. Choose to partner with us to go out there and reach the people who need the gospel. That will build you as a Christian. So how is it that we see in the book of Acts, we see a spirit of unity, we see a heart of charity, a people who have the right priorities, the joy of the Lord? It's not just the doctrine. It's not just the Bible reading, but it's also having the fellowship. And you in your life, you should be steadfast in having the right fellowship. You know, don't be a person who just wants to isolate themselves and never talk to people, because that's not going to build you as a Christian. Why? Because success is neither magical nor mysterious. How's it done? Success is a natural consequence of consistently applying the basic fundamentals. What's the creed of the Christian life? Being in church, going soul winning, being friendly to people, reading your Bible, just the basic fundamentals. That is what you need in the Christian life. Go back, if you would, to Acts 2, if you would. Acts chapter 2. So number one, what do you need? I said you need the basics of Bible reading. Number two, you need the basics of fellowship. And it's not just hanging out, but it's also fellowshipping in the gospel. But number three, we need the basics of prayer. The basics of prayer. You see, I've already heard sermons on prayer. Well, you know what? This is what you need. You need the basics of prayer. Prayer is what we need in 2020. It says, notice, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, notice, and in breaking of bread. Not just that. It says, and in prayers. And if you'll notice one thing in the book of Acts, throughout the book of Acts, you see a people who prayed. A people who spent their time praying. In Acts 1, look at verse number 14. You're in Acts 2. Go to Acts 1 and look at verse number 14. Acts 1, 14. The Bible says, these all continued with one accord, notice, in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Notice, they're with one accord doing what? In prayer in chapter 1. In chapter 2, we see them doing what? Steadfast in the prayer. Go to chapter 4, if you would. Acts 4. And look at verse 31. Acts 4, 31. Acts 4:31. Notice it says, and when they had, notice, prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You know, how is it that in the book of Acts we see the Holy Spirit of God moving? How is it that we see people with boldness preaching the word of God? Thousands of people getting saved, people getting added to the church. What were these people doing? They were steadfast in the prayer. They took the time to do the basic thing that a Christian should do, which is to pray. And you and I, as Christians, prayer should be fundamental in our lives. And if there is something that is taking away prayer time in our lives, that is a weight that you need to let aside. You know, if you spend more time on the television, then that is a weight. If you spend more time on hobbies or activities and you don't pray as a Christian, that is a weight. And you need to make sure that you get your priorities right and get back to the basic fundamental of just praying to the Lord. Go to 1 Peter 3, if you would. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And the truth is that the Lord, he wants you to pray. When you think about your Christian life began with you believing the word of God and calling upon it. It began with you asking the Lord for the gift of salvation. But you know, God wants you to keep asking him for things. God wants you to pray to him. God wants you to talk to him. 1 Peter 3, notice verse number 12. 1 Peter 3, 12, the Bible says, notice, for the eyes of the Lord, notice, are over the righteous. Notice what it says. It says, and his ear are open unto their prayers. You know, when I read that, I just picture God in heaven, and he's just holding his ear out like this, when he says that his ears are open unto their prayers. And think about it, when you wake up, God's just there waiting. His ear is towards you, waiting for you to talk to him. And how many times do we live our lives, or how many days go by where we just get up and do the basic thing of just praying to God? And the Bible says, ye have not because ye ask not. And we should be asking God, praying to him every single day. Why? Because that is a basic of the Christian life, a fundamental that should never move. We should be steadfast, unmovable in the prayer. Go to Philippians 4, if you would. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians 4, look, and when the struggles of life come, and they will come, you know, the basics of prayer is what we need. Getting back to the basics. You know, what makes a great Christian? Is it just the Bible reading? Is it just the church attendance? You know what? It's everything. It's a Christian who reads the Word of God, who is steadfast in church, and who is steadfast in their prayer life. Philippians 4, look at verse number 6. Philippians 4, 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, notice, but in everything by prayer. He said, does God want me to pray in some things? No, it says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Notice verse 7, notice, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You know, we saw earlier that Bible reading keeps you safe, but you know what? Prayer keeps you safe too. When you're going through those hard times, the Bible says that praying will keep your hearts and it'll keep your mind. When you're going through that tough time, when you're going through those difficult situations, you say, what do I need? You need the basic fundamental of just praying, to God. Notice verse 42. I'm sorry, go back to Acts 2. Look at verse 42 again. Acts 2, 42. You say, what do we need in 2020? Do we need more YouTube? Do we need more TV? Do we need more vacation? We need to get back to the basics is what we need. Back to the basic fundamentals of just reading the Bible, of being steadfast in the fellowship, and of just being steadfast in prayer. What's that going to do? It'll make you succeed as a Christian. It'll make you win as a Christian. Acts 2:42 again, the Bible says, and they continued, notice, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You say, why? Because this is the key to the Christian life, is when you become a Christian who is steadfast, meaning you're unwavering with everything. When you become steadfast, why? Because success is neither magical nor mysterious. Success is the natural consequence of consistently applying the basic fundamentals. And as we move on to a new year, you should think about your life. And you should think, what are some things that are holding me back just from the basics of the Christian life? And those are the things you should lay aside and get back to that which is fundamental. Why? Because this is what will make you win. This is what will get the power of God in our lives. This is what's going to bring us joy. What's going to bring us unity, happiness, gladness, a heart of charity. And it'll cause us to have the right perspective. Why? Because this is the key to the Christian life. Just going back to the basics of the fundamentals. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for our church, dear God, and for your word. And I just ask that you be with us this coming year. And I just ask that you bless each one of us, God, and help us to put you first and get back to those basics of the Christian life, God. And I just thank you for this evening. I just pray that you be with all of us this coming year, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.